Paul has gone through 7 chapters explaining about how sin has had its effect on the world. Then he has come to the Jewish people and to people about judging others, knowing that the same way that you're judging, you're going to be judged. He's talked about the reality that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no reason to be judging anyone. In chapter 4, he hits on Abraham. One of the great stories of the Bible is what happened because Abraham did what Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him unto righteousness. And how our faith is not of works, it is by grace. By believing God, by believing that Jesus died for me. Chapter 5, he tells us in that first verse, therefore having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, he tells us that we should account ourselves as dead unto sin. He tells us, because there is grace, should we sin even more because God's grace will cover it? No, he doesn't mean that. And there's a whole twist on that, and it separated denominations for the last 500 years. In chapter 7, Paul tells us, this is where I come from. He says, I know what I need to do, I know what I want to do, and I don't do it. I know the things that I shouldn't do, but yet I do them. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will save me from this body of death? And in Romans 8:1, he tells us, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Your Bible may not say that right there, but look down about 3 verses, you'll find it there. The 9th chapter, Paul talks about Israel. About how the one thing he wants is to have this relationship between Israel and God that they once had. And he goes on in chapter 10 to tell us that his heart and his soul is that Israel would come to know God. And then the scripture I want to read starts. In verse 8. But what does it say? Talking again about the Old Testament. We got to understand that Paul didn't have a New Testament. He was writing it. The disciples didn't have a New Testament. They were writing it. So they referred to the Old Testament. Therefore, Paul says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Stop for a moment and think about the Old Testament. Stop and think about the temple. Stop and think about the temple ritual. Stop and think about temple religion. Stop and think about the sacrifices that you had to pay for and you had to bring so that God would cover up your sin. Think about what it costs. And then read what Paul is saying. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's read that again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you bring your lambs on every Passover, and you keep every Saturday as Sabbath, no other day, it has to be Saturday, and your dresses have to be the right length, and gentlemen, you've got to wear a suit and a tie. You can't go swimming, don't go to a movie. Then if you do all those things, you will be saved. He doesn't say that. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Heart, mouth. Heart, if you believe in your heart, heart, mouth. Not a thing about the squash on your shoulders, because that will never figure it out. And I'm afraid that sometimes the problem is that's where people try to figure out God. That's where their relationship with God is. It's in their head. I like what so-and-so said, or I read that book, I listened to that tape, and I agree with what he says. I just agree with that. No, it's a relationship that's born way, way, way down where you reside in your heart. And down in that place is where you come to the place and you say, God, I've failed you. God, I know I'm a sinner. Against you and you only have I sinned, and I confess my sin to you. God, by your grace, I believe you save me. And I'm going to tell the world now that you have saved me, because I believe in my heart unto righteousness, and with my mouth I will make confession unto my salvation. Boy, that flies in the face of a whole lot of stuff that I've taught, preached, believed for a long time. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. The Old Testament He's writing here. He's writing in those words. You mean the Old Testament taught salvation by grace? Yeah. If you listen to the prophets, if you look at the pictures, if you look at the types and the shadows, it was pointing toward the grace of Almighty God. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, between tall guys and short guys, skinny guys and fat guys, old women, young women, old men, young men, good looking, bad looking, there is no distinction. I'm glad I threw that in there because it makes me feel good. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Holy cow. I'm guilty, man. I have made this a hurdle for some people. Well, when you give up that smoking and drinking, now you can come to church. When they told me that I couldn't wear short sleeves to church, I had to wear long sleeves because it would cover up the watch that I wore. The wedding ring is okay, but cover up that watch. I guess it's in there somewhere. I haven't found it yet, but they said it was. Can't go to a movie. My son's here today, and it took him 2 years to see Star Wars. He knew every word of every dialogue. He knew every character. He knew every weapon they carried. He knew the names of all the ships. He knew everything about them. Never had seen the movie. Because the church said, you don't go to movies. I read this and I say, Lord, maybe we've blown it here someplace. Maybe what Jesus Christ did on that cross so long ago is the only thing that will stand before God. And He says, and I say this just out of, just to say it, because I don't know if He's going to say this or not. Why should I let you into my heaven? Because I wore long dresses. Because I didn't go to shows, didn't go bathing with mix. We went to youth camp one time. We had to take all the boys in one bus to the swimming pool, swim around with the guys and throw them all on the bus and load them, take them back out to the thing, and then bring all the girls to the thing because there's no mixed bathing. And at the same time, we were encouraging them to leave bribes. They called them gifts for the people that were inspecting the rooms. Gwen's nodding her head. She knows what I'm talking about. If you leave enough M&Ms, the guy that comes to look at your room may not look at the dust or the wrinkles in your bed. I told him what they were. He said, these ain't gifts, these are bribes. Verse 14, I need to get where I'm going. The time's almost over. Is that clock working today? Nope. Nope. It's not. It's not. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They're not all going to believe it. Just read the next verse. How are they going to believe unless they hear? And how are they going to hear unless somebody preaches it? And how are they going to preach it if they're not sent? I made the little statement in the bulletin. I got good news and bad news. Anybody ever got that little thing? I hate that. Oh, I hate that. I hate that. I want to run. I just want to say, just stand there. Don't say nothing. Just run. Wouldn't it be something, Crystal? You found your family. What if 30 years ago, someone in that family died? And left you $10 million. Wouldn't that be good news? Wouldn't that be good news? Let's have the bad news. Nobody told you about it. Someone's left you $10 million, but nobody told you about it. Around this world of 7 billion people, around this world, there are approximately 2 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Unreached people groups. You've got the picture on one in your little hand, this little thing that you got into your in your bulletin this morning. An unreached people group you can pray about this month. Out of the 16,790 people groups in the world, 41% have never yet been reached. What does it take to be an unreached people group? It means that of all the hundreds and thousands of people live there, only 2% have ever heard of Jesus Christ. If you're someplace with a population of 100 people, that means only 2 have heard about Jesus Christ. And for the most part, they don't have the ability to share with Christ like they need to. Why? They don't have Bibles. They don't have a Jesus movie. They don't have the little solar-powered gospel machines. They don't have that. Why? Because of every dollar that's spent in the cause of Christ, 1 cent of that goes to unreached people groups. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Saved. Saved from what? Hell? No, that's not all you've been saved from. You have been saved out of darkness and put into life. You have been saved out of sadness and brought into joy. You've been saved out of sickness and brought into healing. You've been saved out of hopelessness and brought into hope. Do you think that there are around this world places where they would say, if I just, there's just no hope. These tyrants are greater than any man or woman can bear. I can't pray in public. We can't go to church. We can't express any kind of religious belief because of the tyranny that is over us right now. But in that very place, some of the strongest Christians in the world grow and they thrive because somebody stepped into that group and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good news. This is why I say this gospel portion, this portion of Romans gets too familiar because we forget about what it means to be where I was and where I am now. And I didn't have to pay the preacher. I didn't have to ride the goat. I didn't have to give blood. I didn't have to do any of those things because it's already been done for me. Jesus Christ is the one that saved my soul. And I need to just come to Him and take advantage of what He's done. He gave me $10 million and somebody told me about it. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Look at your feet. Don't you dare take them off. Just look and imagine what they look like. Can you say, God has made my feet beautiful because He has enabled me to preach the gospel to the poor? He has given me opportunity to live my life in a new freedom. I have been born again. My life was fast-tracking toward destruction. But Jesus saved me, and now I'm born again. He took all that writing on that ugly blackboard of my life and turned it into a whiteboard where the things that He wanted me to do, the things He asked of me to be, the things that I could relate to Him, this is how I can be like Him. Thank You, Jesus. This is what You did for me. I've been in that place of darkness a couple of times. And Jesus came where I was. And He took me from there to over here. We need to all face the fact that we got things in our lives that we're not proud of. What if God? What if God had access to Facebook? And God would take you and your life and post it to Facebook. God, I thought He was a preacher. But what He's done, what God has done, what Jesus has done, and to bring us into this life, He says, the easiest things in the world. It's as close as your mouth. It's as close as your heart. My heart's right there. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you have passed from light or from darkness to light. The darkness, I move sides here. We've gone from that place of darkness to a place of light. How simple that is. But yet there are people around this world who have never heard the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're cutting themselves, sacrificing animals, sometimes their children, to gods that don't even exist. Doing all sorts of incredible things to try to satisfy a God that doesn't even exist. What is so sad is we have places on this continent where they crawl on stones on their knees until their knees bleed, whipping themselves with whips. Los penitentes, it still happens. And yet, they've not heard that Jesus Christ did all that. You don't have to do that. He did all of that. So that if I just say with my mouth that Jesus Christ, He came to this earth and He died and He was raised again. I believe in my heart. And therefore God has made me righteous, and with my mouth I'm saying to you, because of what He did for me, He can do for you also. Yes, amen. Yet 2 billion people have never heard the very basics of that message. He's going after money. He's going after money. How many in here sponsor a missionary? How many in here sponsor a ministry? How many in here sponsor a ministry because they send out really good CDs and really good books if I send them $10? You've fallen into the oldest trap in the world. Missionaries who have given their lives. We have a missionary in Brazil right now, John and Kathy Hayes. He's going to come and he's going to be with us this summer when he gets back on furlough. Over 30 years ago, he knelt in the Grand Junction Church of God. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and he answered the call to being a missionary. For 35 years, he's been in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's left Sao Paulo, one of the largest cities in the world, with one of the most evil populations there are. Gangs that would run around town and kill kids. Police who would kill kids because they were killing rats that didn't need to be here. Kids that had no hope. They started orphanages to bring the kids in. They're on the Amazon River right now, reaching tribes and villages that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're training people who speak the language of Brazil, because it's a special kind of Spanish. They're training them so they can go into the villages and they know who the people are. They know the language. The people understand them. For 35 years they've done that. We totally finance, all in behind, ministries that travel around to big auditoriums, talking to 10,000 people, 9,446 of them are Christians that have come from some other church to pack that building to hear their favorite teacher. 2 billion people on the earth have never heard the gospel one time. Somebody said, and I believe so, no man should ever hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once. What brings this up in me today? It's something that happened to me a couple of days ago when I remember being in a general assembly of the Church of God. 10,000, I don't know how many people crowded into that huge stadium that Peyton Manning made famous in Indianapolis. And during the communion service, we're going to have communion today. Can you imagine handing out communion to 10,000 people? It's a logistical thing. They did, and they started handing out communion. They got communion and said, did everyone get communion? You see the heads go. Has everybody received the elements? Yes. Has everybody received the elements representing Jesus Christ and what He did? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And one voice back in the corner, I don't even know, I heard one voice, and he said, we've not been served. I have never had anything strike my heart harder than hearing that one voice representing 2 billion people around this earth that have never heard the good news that by faith in Jesus Christ and confession with my mouth, I can be saved. And there are men and women out there all over the world that are doing these things, preaching. They've given up families. They've given up their lives. One Church of God missionary, he and his wife, newlyweds. This is where they spent their honeymoon. They went to Africa to be missionaries. 3 months later, he was dead of malaria. But yet she come home and she went back. Because something in their heart said, these people have got to hear. No man should hear the gospel twice until they've heard it once. Or till somebody, everybody's heard it once. That's just how I feel this morning. I feel, and maybe you're the brunt of how I feel this morning. And I apologize for that. Because I've had to stop and think about, while I'm preparing this message, what is it that I've done? What have I done? Oh, $15 here and maybe $30 there. If you look at our little board behind John back there, you'll see the Casa de Hogar calendar that they send to the church because the church sponsors them down in Mexico. Michael Utterback from Jerusalem. We sponsor these two missionaries. But there's the John Hayes's. There's the Kelly Green. There are these that are giving their lives. They're depending on people back here to help them. We've been given a gift. The gift of Jesus Christ. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. And it was all I could do to keep from preaching there. We talked about it. We have a generational responsibility. Oh yeah, we've got us and our kids and or brothers and sisters, or moms and dads. But yet there's a generational thing to reach people elsewhere. The rock that goes into the pool that begins to spread out. There are people out there that are saying, pass me the ball. Pass me the ball. I've got an open field to run. I know how to get into the end zone. Pass me the ball. And so it's up to us. This didn't come out like a... How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent. Let me land this thing. Misery loves company, okay? God really was working over my heart. So I'm going to share it with you. Jesus Christ is coming back. I have a yellow piece of paper at home that I wrote this week. And I wrote on that statement, why haven't I gone to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel? And I wrote the answer, could it be that I don't believe the gospel? Could it be that I don't believe in a place called hell? Could it be that I'm really not sure there's a place called heaven? Could it be that I just don't believe that Christ died for me? And the question becomes, if I don't share that with somebody, Jesus might ask me, why did I have to die on the cross if you're not telling anybody? The heads go down, so did mine. So I start writing on the yellow piece of paper. What am I saying today? Search our hearts. Search your hearts. Is there a way? Is there a way, possibly, that I could do something? I can't go over there. I don't want to go to Africa. John back there wants to go to Mozambique. I don't. I'm always afraid he hears that, and he's going to hear that, and he's going to say, But somebody in their heart has got a gnawing hole that can only be filled by preaching the gospel in Mozambique. But can you help? Yes, you can. The Church of God's got missionaries all over this world. In 183 countries, we've got missionaries that are teaching people that live there, how to share the gospel. John and Kathy Hayes' school right now are turning out missionaries that are going to China, missionaries out of South America that are going to Russia, and missionaries of South America are coming to the United States. One of the largest mission fields in the world. In the United States. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come, and we're going to distribute the elements for communion. As they do, I want you to consider this. I want you to consider Romans 10. It's Welch's Concord grape juice. Freshly squeezed, I don't know how, or squeezed? Freshly squeezed, I don't know when, but that's what it is. A little white thing is a piece of unleavened bread, cracker. That's what it is. We're not going to say anything today to turn it into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We're not going to, through by any prayer, make this suddenly turn into something that it isn't. But what it is a representation, an accurate representation of what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He died, resurrected, sits at the right hand of the Father. And he told some knuckleheads like Peter, James, John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Andrew. He said, go into all the world make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do whatsoever I've commanded you. And we take that bread, and we take that glass of grape juice, and we do as He said. Every time you do this, you do it in remembrance of Me. As often as you do this, you do show forth My death until I come. So what we're doing today, folks, we're remembering what Jesus did for us. This is what He did for us. And He did it for billions of other people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would never perish, but have everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
What did I ever feel like a priest just then? I just felt flashbacks. But that's what He did. Whoever believes in Him would be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're going to remember that. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you your sins and become your Savior, now's the time. Now's the time. On the night that He was betrayed, He took bread, He blessed the bread, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples. Take, eat this, for this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Let's eat. And in the same way, when the supper was over, He took the cup, Elijah's cup, the last cup. And He took it and He blessed it. Prayed a prayer that had been prayed for thousands of years. Blessed be the great God of all the universe, who has given to us the fruit of the vine. He gave it to His disciples and said, here, drink this. All of you, drink all of it. For this is the new covenant written in My blood that I shed for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me. Let's drink together. As often as you do this, you do show forth My death. We are giving a physical manifestation of the death of Jesus Christ until I come. Could we, in doing that, as we celebrate what Christ has done for us as individuals, and then bring us together as a church, could we just ask God the question, Lord, what can I do that someone else could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Father, speak to our hearts of Your love for the world. And Lord, we would feel the urgency, Lord, that You have in Your heart for the world that we live in. Open doors, ways, make ways. And Lord, then use us to say, yes, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. Or send my finances. Send my prayers. spiritually send me to the nations. And we're going to thank you. Before you leave, I want you to think about one thing. The broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ was so that we could stand here today and we could say, without a shadow of a doubt, by His stripes, we were healed. Allow God to heal your physical body this morning.